you're going to be invited to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for every person gathered here. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you. I thank you for this praise team, all the practice that they've put in this service today. I praise you most of all for your Holy Spirit brooding over us, calling us to your cross and calling us to faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're fixing to hear your word. I pray that it would change us to look more like you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'll stop short of giving an apology, but I do want to give some explanation to our visitors. Today is a little bit of home cooking because we are getting ready to enter into two stages, if you will, of what I hope can be termed as church growth. And that is, we are talking tonight about a remodel to our sanctuary. And then we are, on next Sunday, we are asking for you to commit to up to 2 hours each week for the next 90 days for our serving revolution. And so today is a message in preparation for that. Never will forget, years and years ago, I had a sermon like this, and it was preparing the church for a very important movement. I don't know if it was two services. It probably honestly was. But I was trying to prepare the church, and I took a Sunday morning to do that. I preached from God's word and the such, but it was more of home cooking, a living room discussion than it was, quote unquote, thus saith the Lord. And the visiting family, the husband said, Brother Ben, how often does that happen? Because apparently the wife had taken exception that the message was built around something that was happening for the church, quote unquote, instead of just preaching the word. So this is what I told the person, that number one, every question is appreciated. There's no such thing as a dumb question. The dumb question is the one that wasn't asked. So I'm good. I want to know what you want to know and need to know. With that said, I assured him that if 100% is 52 sermons, 52 Sundays, Sunday night, so 104. Can you believe I did the math? I think. Did I do that right? All right. So, 2%. Well, one sermon a year type thing of that nature, depending on the need. And I told him, I said, I understand the desire and such, but what you need to know is that I'm not just having Bible class today. When I pastor this church and I preach to you the word of God, I'm not just preaching to you in a vacuum. We've got an entire community we're trying to reach for Christ. We've got a state we're supposed to try to reach for Christ. We've got a nation and we've got a world that we are commissioned to reach. And so sometimes that results in two services. And when it does, you need to be prepared for that. I think most of you would be highly upset if you showed up and had no clue that we had a service at 8 a.m. and we didn't bother to tell anybody type thing. And so you've got to be included. And so some Sunday mornings we're going to have this, and that's definitely what today is. But we're going to use God's word because God's word directs us in these types of things. I would have you stand, please, for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Philippians chapter 2, we're starting in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And church, that alone right there will get us through any building situation. It'll get us through any campaign. Being of one mind, let nothing, and this is how you do it, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Father, we ask you to add your preaching, your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, we failed this morning in the offertory time to pray what we pray every Sunday, so I'm going to do that now. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us to spend time with you Monday through Saturday, just us and your word and your spirit, so that you can change us to look more like you, so that we can be that transformational church you've called us to be. Father, for our cancer sick, for Amy Banderman, Millie Barnes, Sandy Ballou, Sue Brand, Karen Fleer, Wayne Gooch, Dan Goodman, Susan Paxson, Lynn Prince, Robert Uphold, we ask you to heal them completely, totally, and wholly of cancer. Father, Lynn Prince is having some cancer removed from her face this week. We beg your blessings upon that surgery. We pray for the Martins, the Lowers, the Nances, the Henthorns, the Domkeys, the Murphys, the Havrilkas, the Ramseys, Benjamin Kingston, Rachel and Hannah Licklider, Bethany Sullivan, Brandon Weiss, Lucas Eves, that you would give them that spiritual breath of fresh air that they need today to be the lighthouse of the gospel in their community. For the financial needs that we have as a church, we lay them before you and ask you to meet them according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm a pastor's son. I went from being a pastor's son to college, became a preacher myself, called to this church to youth pastor, then to a church in Jonesboro to youth pastor, and then back to this church to pastor. It's all I know. And so one of the things that through the years that I have been exposed to, if you will, is pastors and their horrible experience, quote unquote, at their first church. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard preachers say that. You know, I've really enjoyed this church, but boy, my first church. And at school, at preacher school, they'd tell us, you know, boys, I'm just going to tell you, don't expect much out of your first church. I don't even think that they knew what they were doing, you know. It's kind of like, ladies, right before your first birth, your first child, all the ladies that had horrible first birth experiences, they find you and tell you. They don't really realize what they're doing. They're scaring you to death. Okay, and so it's really not a blessing. So if you do that, please stop. And so I left college thinking, oh no, can I just skip to the second church? You know, do I have to go to this first church? And I got here, and you people weren't near as ugly as they promised me you'd be. You weren't near as mean as they promised you would be. In fact, you were wonderful, you were beautiful, you treated me like a king even though I didn't deserve it. And before you knew it, we became really, 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 really good friends. And man, I tell you, I don't have negative horror stories. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Watch this. The same things that has kept us together now since 1988, save 2 years, 95, 96, will keep us together through a remodel. You'll love me, I'll love you. You'll forgive me when I mess up, I'll forgive you when you mess up, and we'll move on, okay? The same things that has kept us together now for 22 years as pastor and church will get us through a 90-day campaign of serving others. When you think I'm being too overbearing, you'll love me anyway. When I think you're not caring enough, I'll love you anyway. I'm not saying those things are going to happen. I'm saying if they do happen, we'll get through it the same way we've gotten to this point. Loving each other, forgiving each other. And the key is found right here in this passage. Right here in this passage. The key for us continuing to love each other despite our differences, we will get through it if we will apply these passages. So what I want to do now is get to my notes and John MacArthur says there's five pieces, if you will, of unity in this third and fourth verse that you and I must keep in mind to have unity through a remodel, to have unity through a campaign, to have unity, period. So first of all, notice there in verse 3, let So this is how you're going to have and be of one mind. Let nothing be done. There's two things that's going to follow this. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Well, what does selfish ambition mean? It equals personal goals. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition that you're going to, the Bible says, consume it upon your flesh. The Bible says you have not because you ask not, or you ask to consume it upon your flesh. I had a guy years and years ago point me towards a particular type of prayer, and it was praying for things. And he said, Brother Ben, I'm telling you, if you'll write it down on your 3x5 card, and you'll keep that in your pocket, and every time you think about it, you pull it and you say, I'm going to have a, you know, fill in the blank, and pray it to God and claim it in Jesus' name, you're going to get it. I never still yet waiting for my Z28. I don't have enough faith, apparently. And probably what's truer to fact, it's not God's will. It's not God's will. Because we all know Camaros are better anyway, right? That's right. That's right. I'm kidding. Here's the point. But I truly did do that. I walked around with that 3x5. I wanted a Z28 bad. Because my brother had a car, and I wanted one better than his. Now, watch this. Do you know what I was doing? I was praying to consume that upon my flesh. Do you think that when I got that car, I was going to drop to my knees and praise the holy name of Jesus and run around trying to win people to Christ? No. I was going to get in that car, go by Barry, go, sucka, and drive by. To consume it upon my flesh. So, church, we are not going into a remodel for personal ambition. Been here 22 years. If I was here for personal ambition, we would have done this remodel 2 years after we did the last one type thing. This has served us well. Amen. It has. And I love it. Still to this day, watch this. Because you know what? I don't care. I do not care. And everyone that walks into these doors after we see them saved and discipled, we're going to teach them not to care. How many times have I told you, if it doesn't affect eternity, let it go. Let it go. But watch this. Watch this. The people we're trying to reach aren't there yet. Our world is hurting. And they want to come to Jesus. They may not know to say it that way. Some of them want to come to church. But when they come here and they see 1990s best, they're going to struggle. This church doesn't even know what culture they're living in. Now, you and I know that's not true. It's not accurate. It's not fair. But that's where they're at. Amen, church? Amen. That's where they're at. So we're going to get cultural. We're going to catch up. And ever so often, if the Lord leaves us in this building, we're going to catch up ever so often. And so it's so important that we can have peace of mind and unity, knowing that we're not doing this for personal ambition. We're doing it to reach people. We're doing it to fulfill the Great Commission. I believe that with all my heart. But now watch this. We're not going to serve people for personal ambition either. If you are, I'm asking you to check that today. If you're going to sign up next Sunday so to get Brother Ben off your back, then just don't bother. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm telling it to protect you. Because you're going to frustrate yourself if you sign up to serve up to 2 hours a week just because Brother Ben told you to. This has to be a Holy Spirit thing. Back in October when I preached this original series, I knew that in January we were going to revisit this. I knew because the Spirit was leading me to lovingly challenge you to commit to up to 2 hours of personal service. It's not for selfish ambition. Point number two, how to retain unity. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or empty conceit. So now this is for personal glory. Look at me. In church, I think we've proven to the world that we're not about keeping up with the Joneses. We're not about keeping up with fill-in-the-blank church. We're going to do what we feel led that God wants us to do. And it's obvious to me that it's time for a remodel. So we're going to do that, but we're not going to do it because, hey, look at us. We're cultural. No, we're just a country church trying to reach people where they're at for the gospel of Christ. And you and I will retain unity if we do not do things for personal ambition or conceit or glory. Brother Ben doesn't want to pastor a large church so that I can say I pastor a large church. Brother Ben wants to pastor any size of church that is reaching people for the gospel of Christ faithfully. That's it. That's it. That's my motive. That's my goal. That's my desire. There was a time, I can tell you, that I was about climbing the ladder. It was in college. There was a time that I can tell you that I was about getting my name in the lights. That was in college. And God quickly dealt with that. Now it's about being faithful to His word. Number three, so let nothing be done through personal ambition or empty conceit, but in lowliness of mind. So this, I want to read this to you. Submission to others, genuine humility involves believers not thinking too highly of themselves, and requires that they regard one another as more important than themselves. That word regard, I believe, is used in another translation. Listen to this. This is what John MacArthur says. Regard is from a verb that means more than just having an opinion. It refers to a carefully thought out conclusion based on the truth. It does not mean to pretend that others are more important, but to believe that others actually are more important. And if that doesn't challenge you to the core, you're not listening or you're not comprehending what I'm trying to tell you. God is asking every one of us to prayerfully, spiritually, emotionally, physically, if you have to, socially work to the point that you live believing that others are more important than you. Now watch this, because we've all got a sin nature, so now our sin nature is reacting to that.
Wait a minute.
God's trying to tell me that everybody else is more important than me? No. God is trying to tell you that the key to a spiritual, abundant life is for you to live your life for God and for others. And that when you do that, He makes your priorities His priorities. He'll take care of you. It's fulfilling when we serve other people. And it can't be a pretend thing. You've got to get to the point that you realize God is calling me to this. Other people's interests are more important than my own, knowing that God will absolutely take care of my own. So I'm just going to serve Him. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to throw myself in, knowing that He has my best interest at heart. America fights this. Now, it used to be that America was about freedom to worship in the way we saw fit. That truly is the American dream. You understand that the American dream, being a house and a nice car, has been perpetrated upon us by our enemy, the devil. The American dream was to be able to worship in freedom the way we saw fit according to God's word. That's why the pilgrims came. And watch this. If you hear anything else, that's called revisionist history. It's not accurate. It's just not. I lovingly double dog dare you to check out the history written by those men, not somebody that's living now, because they weren't there. But when you listen to what our founding fathers say, the Federalist Papers and the such, they left the persecution that they experienced in Dutch. They left the persecution that they experienced in England to worship God in freedom. And the ultimate goal was for others, to help others. And they did it. And I'm telling you that if you and I will buy into 90 days of serving others, we're going to see God change us. Point number four. Do not look only for your own interests. You see, these build on each other. And now this is how you're going to think others more important than yourselves. You're not going to always just look at your own interest. You're going to look at theirs. Church, I'm telling you that because I know we're struggling. But what exactly, Brother Ben, do you want me to do? I'm telling you, God's going to show you. He's going to make it pretty obvious. The need of your neighbor, the need of your workmate, whatever the case may be, he's going to reveal it to you. And when he does, act. Some of you next week may just simply say, I'm going to give 2 hours of prayer a week for what God wants me to do until he shows it to me. I will absolutely accept that. I'm praying that he shows it to you this week if he hasn't already. Look not to the interests of your own. This is how to keep unity. Number five, but look out for the interest of others. John MacArthur goes on, like the other principles mentioned here, looking out for the interest of others is indispensable for spiritual unity. Also, like them, it requires deliberate and persistent effort to apply sincerely and unconditionally. And although the meaning is obvious and easy to understand, it is difficult to apply. It is the practical outcome of the exceedingly difficult command, regard others as more important than ourselves. Among other things, look out for the interest of others requires believers to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, to continually pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. These are all scripture. To not eat meat or drink wine, do anything by which a brother stumbles, and to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. It is to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. I shared this in first service, and so Brother Bob Rapold told on me, and he said, you got to be sure and include that in your second service. So here we go. This is a real life illustration that happened the last 2 days, Friday, Saturday. I got to give you a little backstory. My mom and dad are pretty organized people. Dad's in heaven. And they picked up after themselves the whole nine yards. They were organized. They were clean. Bless their hearts. They didn't teach me any of that. None of it. It's like I've been raised by wolves. Meaning, I don't care about the environment around me. It doesn't matter. Do you remember the story of my beautiful, precious wife 6 or 4 months before we got married? I took her to be introduced to my mom and dad. Bless her hearts. First time she'd ever ate Jimmy Dean sausage. Messed up her stomach. We're coming home, and she says, babe, I think I'm going to throw up. And I'm like, just let me know. I can pull over real quick. No, you don't understand. I don't go blah. I go blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at her like a mule looking at a new gate, like, what? I'm going to go a lot. Okay, just let me know. And so we're not communicating at all. I give her a 32-ounce cup, or was it 44? It was a big cup. Big gulp. It was a big gulp. It was empty. And I'm like, you're set, babe, because I'm trying to get home. You know, I'm a man. I'm like, come on, it was sausage. But she, you know, so she does it. She goes, blah, 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 whoop, fills that cup. She was so proud of herself. She caught it all in that cup. I freaked out. And went, ah, and ah, she went, boom. Oh. We're not married yet. And she's like, I mean, she would, if she wasn't Dawn, she probably would have killed me at that point. What are we going to do now? I said, babe, you've got clothes in I'll put a towel over, you do your thing. And so she cleaned up. I got puke up to here, okay? I'm getting hungry. Yeah, I'm getting hungry. And we're just a few miles before Houston, and I'm like, hey, they got a McDonald's in Houston. And she's like, how can you? You know, the smell's just, because I'm hungry. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Doesn't bother me. So, watch this. But I know that it bothers her. I know that it bothers Molly. I know that it bothers Benjamin. I know that it bothers Tony. We need a clean environment, church. We need a clean environment. You need to clean up after yourselves. You're not amening, but it's true. And so I adopted this thing. You remember years and years ago, what would Jesus do? I've changed that a little. What would Craig do? What would Craig do? Because Craig is the most organized. There might be people in here that are as organized. There's nobody that I know that's more organized, especially when it comes to garage stuff and all that. Can I get a witness, Jake? Ha, he says, yeah. So we killed a pig Friday. So I'm in pig stuff all day Friday, all day Saturday. I cleaned my counter about every 45 minutes. You know why? I'm in a 70-degree house. And in a 70-degree house at 45 minutes, fat, which is what comes from a pig, produces bacteria. I want this to be edible. So every 45 minutes, I'm cleaning. I'm working like a Turk. We're grinding. I'm grinding. Tony's grinding. The grinder looks like it's been shoved through the hog. I mean, it's ugly, nasty, dirty. So I'm cleaning the grinder, and this is getting on about 8 o'clock last night. I'm not doing all that stuff because I'm a clean freak. I'm doing all that stuff because I know she wants a clean environment. Church, listen to me. We're going to have to do things that we don't necessarily want to do for others. We're going to have to do that. And I believe as you and I ask God, show me how to serve. Show me what to do. He's going to show us how to get involved in people's messes, and he's going to bless this church as a result. He's going to bless you as a result. So, how do we prepare for this? First of all, spiritually. Church, listen, warfare is coming. We're going to get mad at each other. It's just going to happen. You're going to have to love each other, do what the scripture says, go to them. Don't go to someone else and say, they made me mad. Go to them and get it straightened out. And watch this. Don't go to them knowing or thinking that they're the problem. The scripture is very clear. There's not a one of you in here that is someone else's problem. The devil's the problem. He's the principality that is messing things up. And we've got to love each other enough to leave those offenses aside and go and say, hey, instead of you saying, you did this or you did that, this is what you need to say. Hey, I'm just having a little trouble understanding exactly how this went down. Help me, work me through it. That way you're not accusing them. You're just letting them know you have an issue. Let's work through this. I guarantee you God will bless you for that. Church, you need to put your armor on every day. Every day you need to put the helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, with all praying for all saints. We need to prepare for what is coming. Because if this church continues to reach people with the gospel of Christ, the devil is going to face us. He is going to fight us. Love trumps all. This is how we prepare. If you and I will love each other, according to 1 Corinthians 13, we will get through this. Oh, I love this. We must be committed to miscommunication. This preacher will probably do some tonight. We're going to miscommunicate. We've got to be committed to that in the sense that we're not going to let it stop us. We're going to back up and try it again and keep going forward. Let's pray that we truly serve to the point that we are changed. Amen. Please hear that, church. Let's pray during the invitation today. Let's pray that we truly serve to the point that we are changed. What about physically? How can we prepare physically? Well, how about with our eyes? If it doesn't affect eternity, let it go. Change what you can, accept what you cannot change. Let's use our tongues to be used for positivity and praising, not negativity and complaining. Do you remember what I'm lovingly challenging, asking you to commit to next week? You're going to sign a pledge, hopefully, not with your name, but you're going to check it off, that you're committing for the next 90 days to serve up to 2 hours a week, watch this, and not say anything negative or complain about the church. Now, a deacon asked me, Brother Ben, did you plan this for the remodel? No. I really didn't. I'm thrilled and appreciative that it worked out this way. Watch this. You're not committing till next Sunday, so you got a week to grouse after tonight. Come talk to me if you've got an issue. Even after the seventh, you can come talk to me. But we're making a pledge not to complain. My family's already joking about that. Apparently, they complain a lot about me. But nonetheless, thanks for laughing. We can prepare emotionally. Let's be energy givers. Let's be, and if you serve people, you're going to be an energy giver. Let's be energy givers. Let's not be energy takers. So, how am I, the pastor of this church, going to prepare you? Or how am I going to prepare? I'm going to prepare by preparing you, is what I was supposed to say. You need to know something. This happened 2 weeks ago. I told you last week about the situation that Dawn and I had, another miscommunication where I'm praying Jabez's prayer for her, and she hadn't heard it in a while. And when I asked God to enlarge her coast, she's like, oh, I think I've got plenty of plenty. You know, pray for yourself, not me. So I did. I changed it. I'm asking God to enlarge my coasts. That very week, Mike Work sits down with me, the chief police at St. Clair, and says, I want you to prayerfully consider being our chaplain for St. Clair Police Department. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Stacy, Brad, I'm going to ask my wife, I'm going to ask the deacons, and if they're all favorable and I feel led to do it, then we'll go from there. I said, Stacy, I want you to tell me the first word that hits your mind. She had no idea what I was going to say when I tell you that Mike Wirt asked me to be the chaplain for St. Clair Police Department. She went, cool! I was like, I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't. Brad pretty much said the same thing. Brad's always looking for opportunities to get deeper into the town of St. Clair and our surrounding communities. If you don't know that about Brad, you don't know Brad. He's always looking for areas and opportunities to spread the gospel through relationship with our town. And so this is an opportunity for Brother Ben to do that. I asked him, what does it entail? Basically, at this point, just critical events. If one of our officers are involved in a shooting, I'm supposed to help. I'm supposed to be there to minister to that man or family or lady, whatever the case may be. And some occasional counseling. Church, listen to me. This could be my service type thing. I'm praying through it. I have accepted the position. I wanted you to know that. That's why I'm telling you about it. Yeah. And so if you see me in a polo that says St. Clair Police Department and chaplain, that's what that's about. Okay? And so I wanted you to be aware of that. God will make it obvious to you what he wants you to do. I am open to sitting down with you and talking through it. Now, some of you may be thinking, Brother Ben, didn't you just agree to be the missions director? Aren't you the chairman of the camp committee? Aren't you? Yes. So I've told the missions committee and I've told Brother Mike, this is a one-year experiment. This church is my calling. But watch this. We're supposed to reach people. And so if the preacher's not doing it, how can I expect you to do it? And so I see this as one of the opportunities for me to advance the kingdom of Christ. If we get into trouble, we see it coming. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Just forget all that. Here's the last thing I want to tell you. The last two things. God has provided the finances for the remodel. It's paid for. We won't have to do a dime is what I'm trying to tell you. God has given us the finances. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. And watch this tonight. I'm asking you all to come. You need to know what your church is doing. Come with an open heart. If you come with an open heart. Let's get excited about what God's doing. So I had a two-hour deacons meeting. Usually that would be a very negative. It was not. You have some of the greatest deacons, if not the greatest deacons, on this planet. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. We had a very sweet meeting. We contend with each other. You've got to be able to do that. But I walked out of that deacons meeting, and the parking lot was full on a Sunday night. I looked at that parking lot, and I said, Lord, you're doing something. And then I got in here, and there was only 44 people. Every one of them, including Bo, drove a car. And I'm kidding, there was more than 44, but there wasn't as many as I thought would be with all of those cars out there. Some people were driving too, I don't know. But the point is it excited me to no end. And church, if you will look around, you will see what God's doing. I had two people this week say, Brother Ben, I'm getting deeper involved in the church, I promise you. Unsolicited. These people called me and said, can you talk? You bet. We come. Brother Ben, I need you to show me how I can get more involved in the church. I want you to visualize a pit bull, not the good pit bull that everybody says pit bulls really are, but the bad pit bull, okay, on a chain going, that's a preacher when you tell him, I want to get more involved in the church. Yeah, big old Daryl holding him back. You want to excite me, you tell me how you want to get involved reaching people for the gospel of Christ type thing. I love you, church. Thank you for allowing us to do a little home cooking. Let's stand. If you're here today and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. We need unity, church. I don't think we don't have, but we need unity. That doesn't mean that we all necessarily agree. It means we agree to disagree agreeably, and then we move on. I love you with everything I have. If you need Christ, we need to see you during this invitation. Will you come?